You're listening to the Divorce and Your Money Show, the number one show on iTunes that discusses the financial issues in divorce. I'm your host, Sean Lehman, MBA and certified divorce financial analyst and author of the book, Divorce and Your Money, The No-Nonsense Guide. I'm here to help you protect your financial future during one of the most difficult transitions in your life. You can visit us at divorceandyourmoney.com. And today we have a very special interview. I'm bringing on Matt Sweetwood. He is one of the most interesting people you will meet. He had one of the craziest divorce stories that you will ever hear publicly. He spent over $1 million on his divorce. Not $1 million in alimony or spousal support, $1 million in legal and professional fees. And on top of that, he had 5 kids that he has sole custody over. He's going to tell his story and give some great advice as you think about divorce, some practical tips on how to manage the relationship with your spouse and your attorney during the divorce process. So without further ado, here's my interview with Matt Sweetwood. Today we have a very special guest. I have Matt Sweetwood with me, and he is a very interesting person that you're going to hear from not only today, but I know he's going to be a regular on the Divorce and Money Show. He does 3 things. He is the CEO of BBUSA. It's a social network he can tell you more about. He's a Lumix photographer, and he is running the Man Up Project, and we're going to get into all of those. But before we jump in, Matt, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me today. I really appreciate it, John.
Matt has a very, very interesting story when it comes to divorce, and some of the most painful and intense ones that I've ever encountered. And so why don't we start with you just giving a little bit about your background and your experience as it applies to divorce, because I know we could probably talk for the next week nonstop.
So I won't make the joke that I was going to make. I was going to be like, oh, this is a show on divorce? I was never divorced. I call that the mental block, right? It's so painful, I blocked it out. For some guys, when it's like coming back from war, they don't even remember what happened. I sometimes have those moments. But I will dig down deep and I will recall my experiences just for you, Sean.
Oh, well, thank you.
I have a pretty interesting story, I think. I was married to a woman. She was my first girlfriend. I'll admit that now because I'm, you know, in my 50s. And this was when I was, you know, very young. I was in my 20s. I met her in graduate school. And we can get into why, you know, you do this kind of thing when we're young. We got married right after graduate school. We had children very quickly. It was what she wanted to do. And being the people pleaser that I was, I would, you know, do anything she wanted, including having 5 kids with her over 8 years. The only unfortunate part about that is that she had some issues. And as a result of those issues, she ended up leaving me and the 5 children. When my oldest was 8 and my youngest was 18 months. So she up and left after doing some not so good things to us, to the children and myself, and abandoned us. And then what proceeded to happen was the state of New Jersey, which is a very pro-woman state, proceeded with her guidance and the guidance of 4 attorneys that she went through, some very famous ones, you might even know their names. They proceeded to try and destroy me. They did a pretty good job financially. In that litigation, which spanned, I'd say, 4.5 years, 13 motions, twice to the appellate court, and one sort of side issue, which went to the Supreme Court, and about $1 million in legal fees later, she won lifetime alimony on an 8.5-year marriage. Oh, and one minor detail, I had won full custody of the children. So she won a judgment that allowed her basically to never work again, and I had to raise the children, run a business, and pay for it all. So that's the quick version of what happened to me.
Wow. And did you subsequently remarry?
I did subsequently remarry about 5 years after I was divorced. And I subsequently remarried the same woman. No, don't think I'm nuts. I'm not like a masochist, right? I didn't marry the same woman, but I married the same kind of woman. And so from these lessons, I think it actually says in the Bible, and this is whether you read the Christian Bible or the Jewish Bible, it says in there, you know, you shall make the same mistake 6 times or 7 times or something like that. Fortunately, I only did it twice.
If I heard you correctly, you said you spent $1 million on legal fees. How does that happen?
Okay, so I'll give you an example of how it happens. So I ran a business at that time. It was a photographic distribution business. It was a good business, wasn't an amazing business. Never made a lot of money, but it was a good business. God was good to me. So you go into a business which is very complicated. You know, it has 70, 80 employees. It does, you know, a few million dollars in sales. And under New Jersey law, there's an equitable distribution law. So the law says that based upon, you know, how long you were married and so on, the divorcing spouse gets a percentage of the business. And, you know, that is left to the judge's discretion. I half own the business. And so in this case, my wife was theoretically, because it's really all up to the judge's discretion, entitled to a percentage of the growth of the business during the time that we were married. Well, I basically started the business when we first got married, and then the business was, you know, a several million-dollar business by the time it was done. And so you walk into court and you say, okay, what's the business worth? And I say the business is worth X. And then she says the business is worth 10X. And then you come to an agreement and you hire an accountant and you hire a joint accountant. You know, the judge says, okay, you pick one. Then that accountant, you know, spends $50,000, $100,000 going through your books. The lawyers spend another $50,000, you know, arguing up and back. Then the number is presented. And then in the lunatic, crazy court system that exists in New Jersey, she didn't like the number that the court-appointed evaluator came back with, so she wanted her own evaluator, which the judge allowed her to do and then ordered me to pay for it.
Wow.
And then the other evaluator came in, ironically, with basically the same range. It was really funny, as I was paying for it all. And then you fight over every financial aspect of the case. There's psychological evaluation for the children. There's appeals. They made me pay for her attorney. And when her attorney wasn't doing bad enough things to me, she would switch attorneys. And then when you switch attorney, of course, then there's a whole new startup fee. And then you show up in court and the judge cancels the motion, or he doesn't decide on it, or he tells you to come back to court. We had 13 motions. She won every one. So in the end, he ordered me to pay. He ended up double and triple dipping on top of that. So, for example, I was drawing my salary from the business. Now, if I give her, let's say, a third or a half of my share of the business in equitable distribution, that business is no longer generating as much money for me to take salary. But he still made believe like I was collecting my full salary after you give her her share. And then he didn't decrement the $1 million that it cost me to fight the litigation. He made believe like that didn't happen. And then on top of that, he gave her a lifetime alimony.
Is this more of a function of the New Jersey process or the way divorce is handled or not knowing what you are going to be getting yourself into when it comes to divorce or any combination of the three?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's actually all of the above and a little bit more. So here's all the things that I had going against me. And I'll start sort of at the highest level. It's really a socio-political level. So New Jersey is a blue state. It's as blue as it gets. And then in the political season, I have no problem saying that. Everybody would admit that, despite the fact that, you know, our governor is Republican and Chris Christie. I'm not making any political comments here. That's not what this is about. He's Republican. He came because the last governor was basically a crook who was a Democrat. People threw him out. But basically, we are as blue a state as it gets. And in a blue state, the judges get appointed by very liberal people. And liberal judges really carry through the edict that there is a war on women going on and that men have oppressed women since the beginning of time, and it's their job to right that wrong. And they righted that wrong on my ass. And then you add on to that, so that was one factor. Then on top of that, the judge really, I think, was a little bit psycho, and he was a very jealous kind of guy. So you have a guy going into the courts who's making more money than him, and he didn't really care for that. And I think that he enjoyed punishing me where he could. Add into that myself kind of going in naive, not being prepared, not understanding that this was going to be like a WWE steel cage match. I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready physically, emotionally, or mentally for it. I had an attorney. I took the position that I was in litigation with the children's mother, despite how mean and awful she was. And I really didn't want to try to destroy her. So I had an attorney who was going very gently. Her goal in life was to absolutely destroy me and her kids. She didn't care. She just wanted the money. And then on top of that, just New Jersey law. You know, some states are, you know, are equitable distribution states. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of laws that go out there. And the laws in New Jersey are rigged. In fact, Christie, in I believe it was, I want to say November of 2014, he actually finally got a law passed which prevented judges from handing out lifetime alimony awards. This was a big problem in New Jersey. I have about the worst that anybody's ever heard, but there's other men that have gotten lifetime alimony awards on, you know, relatively short marriages. So he actually had to have a law passed that prevented judges from doing that. And so I had a perfect storm for a disaster for me, a financial disaster.
How did you end up paying for all of that? I mean, did you consider something like a bankruptcy route? Or obviously, when you have $1 million in legal fees, regardless of how wealthy you are, and five kids to raise that you have sole custody over, how does that impact you financially? It can't be easy.
Okay. As a financial guy, I don't know if you're going to like this answer, but my answer is that it was God. I don't know how I did it. I somehow borrowed from credit cards. I sold stuff. I worked 70 hours a week. I finagled. I did everything that I could. And somehow through the years, even though I thought I was done, I would just somehow make it. Like I never had any money. I never was able to really do anything. I couldn't do everything for the kids that I really wanted to do for them. You know, I wish I could give you an articulate answer, which you could pass on to the listeners so that they can employ the same strategy. But ultimately, it came down to I cared for my children. I loved them a lot. I worked incredibly hard for 2 decades. And somehow I just did it. Keep in mind, I'll give you the end of the story. It's a perfect timing to do that. My youngest daughter is going to be a senior in college at Pace University in New York next semester. She starts in September, her final year. Her tuition bill is due in 11 days from now. The money I had put aside for their college was gone. But fortunately, I've moved to Manhattan. And in moving to Manhattan, I've discovered I really don't need my car anymore. So I sold my car yesterday. And that car payment is actually going to make her final tuition payment.
Wow.
That's a really good metaphoric example of stuff that I did along the way. And somehow I just kept, you know, it's like it felt like I was playing a shell game for 20 years. You borrowed, you go in debt. And then on top of that, I had a business, you know, I was in the electronics business, and that business almost went out of business a couple of times. So out of desperation, I had to reinvent it. I took more money out of the business at times, you know, than probably I should have. In retrospect, I didn't, but at the time I thought I might have been. You know, you just do whatever you got to do to survive. It's as simple as that.
And if someone knows that divorce is on the horizon, I know most of the people listening are doing their research. They haven't necessarily filed for the divorce yet, but they're smart and they're trying to get everything in order before they do, or at least gather as much information as they can before they do. When it comes to preparing themselves both mentally and financially, I know we can talk about a lot of different things when it comes to that process, but what do you wish you had done that you did not?
I wish that I was more prepared for the fight, and it really took me out. I mean, I am follically challenged right now. I mean, I just lost all my hair, is like instantly. It's a little bit of a joke, but I think that, and I did this at the time, but not necessarily for the reason that I did it. I was in very bad physical shape. I was an emotional eater. I overate when I was under stress. I'm like a guy with no vices. I don't drink or smoke or, you know, anything like that. And so I would overeat. I was in bad shape. And I got myself in really good physical condition. And to me, that physical conditioning is what saved me. It allowed me to sleep 4 hours a night, take care of 5 little children, work, fight the court battle, do all of those things. So it put me in the right condition. So my advice to guys is don't think that the divorce is necessarily going to go easy. Oh, my wife is reasonable. We just don't love each other anymore. it's going to be an amicable divorce. Don't assume that. You should assume that you are in for the fight of your life. Things happen, they lawyer up. Just stuff happens that you don't expect. So you want to be physically in good shape so you can withstand the stress, because we all know that stress does put a physical strain on you. And when you become stressed and you become physically tired, you make mistakes. I liken it to, you know, if we watch sports, what happens when two teams play, or when two people are engaged in a one-on-one match? The person who starts to tire starts to make mental mistakes. So physical tiredness can lead to mental mistakes. You know, I think a really good analogy is, imagine you got drafted into the Army. What would you do if you were going to be, if you knew that you got drafted in the Army and you were starting boot camp in 30 days? This is the first time I've thought of this analogy.
Yeah, you'd work out every day, all day.
And not only that, what would you do? You'd go read up on what's required of you. You would ask other people's advice. You would be mentally, emotionally, and physically prepared for that experience. And that's the same advice that I give to men. Don't just think, okay, I'll go get a lawyer next week. They'll deal with it. It's all, do not be ready. Do not think that that's going to happen. You need to be ready, because divorce is the most difficult thing that a person goes through in their life. Other than, you know, let's say a serious illness. I don't necessarily want to put it on that level, because that would be unfair. But it's essentially as close to that as you can get.
And did you have someone that you could speak to, either friends or a therapist or some sort of emotional support?
No. And that's one of the reasons why I created the Man Up Project.
Why don't you tell us a little bit more about the Man Up Project?
Yeah. So the Man Up Project is something, it came out of my helping other men. I've had lots of guys and women, by the way, have come to me, you know, for advice, for life advice, life coaching. And I started to realize that there's a commonality, and I was able to help with this. So I've written many articles for the Good Men Project, for the Huffington Post. I have lots of videos out there. I have lots of opportunity for people to learn really the valuable lessons that take you through life. So from a men's perspective, we talk about fatherhood and parenting. We talk about dating for single dads. We talk about getting through divorce. I have a lot of materials out there about divorce. But most importantly, my favorite part is the part about having a big life and what I call having a life worth living. Because despite all of this financial horror story that I told you, I had an amazing life. I was able to figure out how to do all sorts of things. I sit here now. I'm running a big social media network in BB. I am a hired photographer, so I left the photo business, and now I just kept the cream. I'm helping other men. I live in New York City. I'm single. I'm a single guy living in New York City with five successful, wonderful, healthy children who love and adore me. They're adults now. I have a great relationship with them. My daughter's coming up this weekend. I had dinner the other night with my daughter. My son just texted me. We're having a whole conversation about his career. So I have a really big life, and I want to be able to share all of this. I sort of translate this trauma that I've gone through and help other people. That's what the Man Up Project is about. I liken it to the, you know, there's a woman who created Mothers Against Drunk Driving. You know, she unfortunately had a child who was lost. And, you know, and from that, it motivated her to do something and help other people. And for me, watching other men go through this and suffer, and I've watched friends or people that have become friends, I've helped them. And so that's what the Man Up Project is about. Go, if you go to my website, msweetwood.com, on social media, on all those platforms too, msweetwood. If you go to msweetwood.com, you'll find the Man Up Project and all the related materials, and I'm building it out and building it out and actually looking to maybe have a TV show about it, because this is a very underserved area. People don't really care about men so much when they go through divorce. In fact, when you hear about a divorce, people usually refer to the man as the aggressor and the woman as the victim. That's really how it's thought about in society. Wouldn't you agree?
That's the common perception.
So the Man Up Project, something I think, and there's stuff in there for women too, by the way. I don't want you to think this is only for men. You know, I write articles about my experience in fatherhood and divorce and all of that stuff. But the number one readers of my stuff are women. Women are always looking for that sort of edge to understand men. And if you go out and you look at my articles, you'll see that most of the comments come from guys give me a fist bump, you know, like, good going, dude. But women read this stuff, you know, and question and ask. It's really kind of interesting.
That's great. So everyone be sure to check out the Man Up Project. I'll have links to Matt's information in the show notes of this episode. Matt, you have, and we had discussed before, some tips for people who are thinking about divorce. And we can't get into depth with all of them right now, and this is why we'll have you back. But why don't you give us the abbreviated version of your key things that everyone must do as they think about the divorce process?
Okay, that's great. So we'll start with essentially, I'll repeat what I said before, and that is, you need to get yourself physically, mentally, and emotionally prepared. Physically prepared, if you're really out of shape, get yourself in better shape. Even if you're in decent shape, get yourself even in better shape from there. Mentally, understand what you're about to go through. In other words, you should be planning what this is going to look like. You should even be thinking about what your life is going to look like afterwards, because you don't want to react emotionally to things as they come. You want to sort of think about what's going to happen. What's it going to look like? I'm going to be living alone. What's my relationship with my kids? And then you want to be emotionally prepared. And what I mean by emotionally prepared is prepared in a way to understand that this is going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. It's unlikely. Look, there are cases where it just goes and everybody, but those are few and far between. You want to be emotionally prepared for this. So those are the three things: physically, mentally, and emotionally prepared. To me, those are very, very, very important aspects.
That's great. And then you had also mentioned to me when we were speaking before some things about, you know, how to make decisions or get your mental state right when it comes to divorce, in terms of just making decisions throughout the process, how to pick an attorney and things like that. Could you talk a little bit more about those?
Yeah, of course. And this is part of the preparing process, is that the divorce needs to be treated like a business. But the problem is, people have slept with the person they're getting divorced from. You typically don't sleep with the person you're doing business with, unless, you know, well, okay, that's a different podcast, but we'll move on to that at a different time. You slept with her, you have emotional ties, you may have children with her, and they somehow get gaga in the head, and you don't start to treat this as something you want to win. So I always say, treat your wife like a hard to acquire client. You want to sell her. So you want to be nice to her. You want to, even if she's terrible to you, you want to be nice to her. You want to pick an attorney who is good. If you're running a business, you just don't pick an attorney and go do whatever you want. Okay? You want to pick an attorney that can articulate the likely outcome of the case. In other words, give you a range of where the case could actually end up. You want someone that explains the law to you. You want to go to somebody who, when you go see him and spend 20 minutes with him or half an hour with him and then speak to him 2 days later, he remembers what you told him. There's nothing worse than going to an attorney. You give him your whole case and then he doesn't even remember. Doesn't remember your wife's name. Doesn't remember anything about the case. I mean, that's like the worst. So you want to communicate with him. He needs to, if not, replace him. And this is the way you need to go through the process. I always say picking an attorney is like bringing your car to the mechanic. You don't bring your car, some car is broken. You don't bring it to the mechanic and say, fix it and I'll pay you anything and I don't need to know anything. Who does that? So you don't sort of, just because it's so painful, ignore the facts. You want to be on top of your case. Have an attorney you're comfortable with. You want to understand what the outcome is. You want to manage your case, stay on top of it, understand all the aspects of it as you go. You manage it like that. And then with the respect to your soon-to-be ex-wife, you want to treat her better in the divorce. And I wrote an article about this. You want to treat her better in the divorce than you did in the marriage. You want to woo her. You don't want to taunt her and make her even more angry at you. She's probably going to try to kill you anyway. So you sit there and start parading that 18-year-old girlfriend around in front of her. She's going to do stuff to you that she wouldn't have even done normally. She's going to do it out of spite. The point being is that you want to think your way through this. It always should be a mental decision, not an emotional decision. And going back again, I can't emphasize enough, to make those mental decisions, you have to be rested, clear thinking. You keep yourself in good physical condition so you don't wear down and start doing things that are dumb. It's as simple as that. So you want to think your way through it, treat it like a business deal, be smart, and understand what the outcome could be. It's like a manifesting thing. Say, this is where I would like to be in 6 months from now. This is what I'd like the outcome is, and start focusing on it. Just like you have a business goal, you should have a divorce goal.
That's awesome advice. I think having a divorce goal is one of the best phrases I've heard anyone say. That's an interesting way to look at it, and certainly a very helpful one.
So actually, I just sort of occurred to me right now as I was sort of making the carrying out the analogy of, you know, of a business goal. I'm like, you should understand exactly the point that you want to get to or you hope to get to, and just focus on getting there. Because then you'll start to do things even subconsciously that push you in that direction.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, you have to keep the big picture in mind. Otherwise, you can get lost in too many irrelevant details or details that hurt you or not towards that goal that you ultimately envision.
And that's why in the Man Up Project, I talk about having a big life. So getting in a scream fight, you know, over your soon-to-be ex-wife because she brought the kids 30 minutes late to the pickup point is not going to benefit you in any way. It can't undo the 30 minutes, and it's unlikely to get her to not do it again, even though you want it, and you just want to yell at her. So you need to think about ways of, I don't want to say it, but even in a way manipulating her, because if you're trying to make a sale, you're trying to sell yourself, you're trying to sell the outcome.
Exactly. And the only way to do that is as you said, you have to treat divorce like a business. So Matt, what's the best way for people to contact you one more time?
Sure. I am on social media everywhere. I am a pretty heavy social media user. If they tweet at me at M Sweetwood or go to my website, which is msweetwood.com. That's M for Matt, msweetwood.com. They can find everything about me. And I am very active on social media. So if they tweet at me or they do anything at me on Facebook, I will gladly respond.
And you said you're single, that's right?
I am very single, which is a very good thing in New York because there's a lot of women out here. So you promised me, by the way, you said if I did this interview, you were going to find me a beautiful, rich, intelligent, sane woman. So now I'm expecting you to pay up.
Deal. I have some candidates in mind who I've actually worked through as part of the divorce process, believe it or not.
Just remember the last quality that I asked for. The rich, the attractive, smart, successful, those are easy. It's the sane one at the end that's a little bit different. Of course, now all your women listeners, by the way, are like, oh, he's a misogynist, he's all that stuff. Okay. I've been called worse, trust me.
Well, thank you for being on the show today, Matt.
It was a pleasure, Sean. Thanks for having me on. I look forward to coming on again.
Matt is a character, and you can tell that he's had some very tough times with his divorce, and he wants to make sure that you learn his lessons. We are going to have him on again to dig a little bit deeper into specific subjects. His contact information is in the show notes. And so definitely check out all the resources he has available. He speaks publicly all the time and has tons of great advice, blogs, videos, everything on how to deal with divorce based on his incredible experiences. Now, that's it for this episode, but before you go, I want to make sure you don't miss some really important resources. There's three key resources on our website, divorceandyourmoney.com. The first thing you do is sign up for the newsletter. I will send you directly important information that you won't find anywhere else, and it's only if you sign up for our newsletter. Second is you can actually get my book, Divorce and Your Money, The No-Nonsense Guide. It is available on Amazon. It's inexpensive, and it's a great way to walk through all the key financial issues as you go through divorce. It's a really helpful, easy-to-read resource for you that everyone should read to get a good picture of your financial issues and situations and things you might not have even realized that you need to think about as you go through the divorce process. So you can find that on the website. And the last thing is, some of you might need one-on-one coaching. You have an issue in your divorce, a financial issue that you really need some expertise on. Regardless of where you are in the United States, just click on the coaching tab and we can set up an introductory call to figure out if one-on-one coaching is good for you. I help people all over the country, and I would love to help you as you go through one of the most difficult times in your life. And finally, on iTunes or whatever podcast player you have, subscribe to the show. The updates will go automatically to your player, and you don't have to worry about it. You'll get notifications for new episodes. And also, if you're on iTunes and this information is helpful for you, leave a review. Takes 30 seconds. A 5-star review will really help other people discover the show, and also share it with a friend. You know someone else who's going through divorce or maybe is in the early process of thinking about divorce. Send them a link. Say, hey, check out the Divorce and Your Money show. This is free advice I give away. So I would love to help anyone that you know, and it's a great resource for other people. That's it for today. I'm your host, Sean Lehman, MBA and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst. Thank you for listening.